From KCRW, I'm Bob Carlson, and this is Football Confidential, stories of soccer in the international city, Los Angeles. It's a special production from the Unfictional podcast, documentaries, true stories, and radio movies. In the U.S., youth soccer is huge, one of the most popular athletic league activities for kids, even more popular than people actually going to live professional matches, although that's changing. And all that began nearly 60 years ago with AYSO, the original youth soccer league, formed right here in Southern California, in the suburban city of Torrance. This episode is called Soccer City. Visit a park or a school athletic field on a Saturday or Sunday in the fall, and what you'll see is probably the best example of a truly homegrown American soccer culture. Boys and girls from kindergarten and up, playing mostly on small fields with small goals. The sidelines are filled with parents fully invested in the game. And there'll be orange slices at halftime. Even now, that's the main association a lot of people still have with soccer, as a recreational kids' game. AYSO, the American Youth Soccer Organization, is where all of this started. It's now nationwide, run mostly by parents and volunteers. But since the beginning, in the South Bay of Los Angeles, AYSO has been the on-ramp for American kids to learn about soccer. And the league has produced a long list of legendary American players, men and women, as well as successful college and pro soccer coaches. On the other end of the spectrum, there's an intense workout going on at the LAFC Training Center on the campus of Cal State LA. Young players from the Los Angeles Football Club Academy are scrimmaging with the Las Vegas Lights, which is sort of like a farm team for LAFC of Major League Soccer.
I'm Todd Saldana. I'm the academy director at LAFC.
He oversees 10 coaches and 120 players from the ages of 11 to 19. But these players are all really good, and they're all chasing the same dream, to play professionally or to be recruited by a college program. The stakes are high for these players. At any game, there might be scouts from big teams looking for players.
If you go to a big academy event now, you'll see clubs from all over Europe with scouts. You'll see agents from all over this country and other countries looking to try to bring kids to Europe. You'll see scouts from Mexico. You'll see scouts from U.S. Soccer. You know, now El Salvador, Guatemala are looking for players here pretty seriously.
During practice, Saldana and his coaches work to keep the young players on track,
making sure the passion is there and technical skills are sharp. And obviously, as they get older, you've got to run a little bit of a harder line so they realize that to play at the professional level, it's that serious and it's competitive, and they start to travel a lot more. So we have to teach them how to travel like a professional and be disciplined about being in your rooms and eating the right things. And so in many ways, it's similar to raising kids to get them ready to go out in the world.
Anyone who's been involved with youth sports knows that one of the biggest challenges you'll encounter is dealing with parents. Parents who want their kid to play more, play in a different position, parents who think they know more than the coaches. It turns out, at this level, that's still a challenge they deal with.
We have a pretty good buffering system so, you know, parents don't get directly to the coaches and try to affect the coaches even in their decisions. When we travel with the teams, the parents aren't allowed to stay in the same hotel with us. They can travel and go watch your son, but try to give them some time just with their club and with their coaches.
Todd Saldana himself was once a talented youth player, and as a player and coach, he's seen the development of soccer in Los Angeles firsthand. He played on the U.S. Under-20 national team and was drafted out of high school by the L.A. Aztecs of the North American Soccer League. The league folded after 1984, but at one time, the NASL made headlines by signing huge international stars.
A dream, you know. I watched Cruyff. I watched, you know, even right before I joined, Pelé was here. I played against Franz Beckenbauer. You know, I mean, these were guys I watched, George Best. These were all guys I was watching on TV on Sundays on Star Soccer, you know.
But he began by playing AYSO in Torrance, just a few years after the league was created.
Like Ziggy Schmid was one of my coaches, who's one of the early AYSO guys. Hans Sterley, who was one of the founders of AYSO, was a West Torrance guy. I grew up in South Torrance.
Ziggy Schmitt is a major figure, one of the winningest coaches in Major League Soccer. After he passed away in 2018, the MLS Coach of the Year trophy was named in his honor. But he started out on one of the earliest AYSO teams after his family arrived from Germany and moved into a house near Alpine Village, the German-themed shopping center off the Harbor Freeway in Torrance.
Yeah, Ziggy's dad lived across the street.
Oh, really?
So yeah, it was like that was our meeting spot. We would meet at Alpine, and also, yeah, you could get the latest kicker magazine from Germany, and you could get, you know, soccer boots shipped in.
Alpine Village is an unexpected landmark for South Bay soccer of the 60s and 70s. When I was growing up playing in AYSO, a German store there was the only place in the area that sold soccer cleats. When I asked Todd Saldana who I should talk to about the early days of AYSO and soccer in the South Bay, he said I should talk to Maureen Cano.
Hi, I'm Maureen Cano, and everybody calls me Kano. I'm the head women's soccer coach here at Cal State Dominguez Hills. This is my crazy 39th season as a head coach.
He's had a long career as a player and coach. He also ran a soccer camp with the name that's sometimes associated with him, Mr. Soccer. He said that prior to 1964, soccer in L.A. was a game played almost exclusively by immigrants who brought the game here and played in their local communities. Kids would learn from their parents. But there weren't many places where a young American player could discover the game for himself.
South Bay was non-existent, but in L.A., a foreign father would have a ball out, and the kid would go to the Greater L.A. League, the Continental League, the Latin leagues, and take their boy, and the men would play every Sunday.
The 1960s were a period of tremendous growth in the South Bay. People moved to the area from all over the country and the world to work in the aerospace industry that was centered there.
Torrance, Redondo Beach, Hermosa Beach, Manhattan Beach, all the way to Gardena, all the way to Palos Verdes, all the way to San Pedro. That was a hub of families that came to the South Bay to work at McDonnell Douglas, Garrett Air Research, all the places where our community was built, where I lived, in Torrance and Palos Verdes Boulevard. Every one of the neighbors pretty much worked at one of the aerospace company. And we moved to Torrance. It was like moving to Disneyland. It was the best place in the whole wide world with a beach a mile away, and then soccer started in 1964.
By that he means that AYSO was created in Torrance, California in 1964 by a German immigrant and graphic designer named Hans Stierle, who created the league along with a group of businessmen. But even before that, when his sons were small, he was almost like a Johnny Appleseed of soccer.
They would roll out a ball. Mr. Stierle lived across from Jefferson Elementary. He would walk right out there with his little boys and roll a soccer ball out there and just say, this is soccer. And then we'd play a little soccer, and he would explain everything. And a lot of us knew of it.
When he was 10 years old, Maureen Cano was walking through the neighborhood when he saw some kids he recognized.
And I looked over, and I see these kids playing soccer, and I knew them from school. And one of the best athletes, Joe Girard, was out there with a couple guys I knew from class. So I saw him at class the next day. And they go, yeah, we signed up for this AYSO. It's soccer. It's just, it's fun. So I signed up.
At the time, it cost just $5 to sign up, and there were no age categories. There were four Torrance teams, and Hans Stierle's wife brought the first orange slices.
They put me at forward. And I was offside every time and didn't know what the heck was going on. So our goalie didn't show up. They threw me in goal, and I dove for a ball, and everybody on the sideline cheered because they never seen anybody dive. They just stood there and blocked it, and I dove for it, and everybody cheered. And when everybody cheered me for once, instead of booing me for being offside every time, I stuck in there, and it's my whole career for my playing days.
Maureen Cano was put on one of the original teams called the Panthers. He had a friendly rivalry with Ziggy Schmitt, who was on one of the other teams.
Ziggy was a member of the dreaded firefighters. They were loaded. They had everybody. But the Panthers were really loaded. And we would practice that first AYSO team. It was like club soccer. You don't disband. So the first year and the second year, first place, Panthers, My team in second place was firefighters, Ziggy's team. But we would always fight who had the better team. But after the second year, those two teams are the reason why AYSO, after every year, disbands the team and mixes it back up, because we dominate.
When a kid signs up for AYSO, they'll usually be on a different team with a different coach from their previous year. That's to keep super teams from forming. Of course, some adults will always try and game the system, but it's part of a philosophy that's more egalitarian than most youth sports leagues. They added girls' teams in 1971, and they retain the motto, "Everyone plays." Every kid is guaranteed to play at least part of every game.
That motto, that everyone plays, is why I have a career. Because at the time, I was no specimen. I had no confidence. I was just learning the game. I listened, and what those coaches told me, I did.
When he was a teenager, Maureen Cano was already playing goalkeeper for a local men's team.
And I'm playing at 15 years old with a semi-pro team in San Pedro, Daniels Field. It was like pros, packed stands every time. So I got picked up at 15, and then by 16 years old, I was wanted by all the teams.
His parents started to wonder just how he was spending his free time.
So my mom comes in my room, and we had played the Friday night, and she screamed for my dad to come in. They both were shaking me to wake up. And my mom was crying. I said, "What's the matter?" And she goes, "Look what I found in your jeans." And it was about $150. She goes, "Are you selling drugs?" And my dad had me around the neck. I said, "No, they pay me. They pay me." "They don't pay you," and nobody would believe me.
At the time, though, soccer was not loved by everyone. Some Americans were suspicious of soccer, thought it was a sport for foreigners or communists. And AYSO's soccer goals would sometimes get pulled down by angry neighbors who didn't want them on a field meant for baseball. But despite that, soccer continued to grow in popularity. And by the time the kids who'd started playing in AYSO entered high school, the South Bay had become a hotbed of American soccer, with big crowds turning up to watch the local Torrance rival schools.
The biggest games with Coach Eaton at West, who just passed on, versus South High School with Roger Bryant. And those games were insane. You know, they had 3,000 people at Spartan South High School in a league game, packed house. You know what the nickname for South Bay was? Soccer City. Everybody had called it Soccer City because we were way ahead of everybody. They had an all-star game at El Camino College, packed house at 8,000 people. It was the AYSO All-Stars versus Hanover, Germany. So Hanover went to the Valley and played them at Pierce College with an okay crowd. And they beat them something like 9-0. So we've got them at El Camino the next weekend. 8,000 people, and they scored in the last 5 minutes past Kano. Broke through. I could remember thinking I got it, and then I went, okay, it's wide, and it went into the far side net, and they beat us 1-0.
In 1996, when Major League Soccer was first established, one of the original teams was the LA Galaxy. And in what might be a testament to the Soccer City, since 2002, the team has been playing in the city of Carson, in the South Bay, where an American soccer culture was invented. That story was called Soccer City. It was produced by me, Bob Carlson, part of a special production from the unfictional podcast called Football Confidential, with online help from Chrissy Van Meter, graphics by Evan Solano. KCRW's content director for culture is Aniel Zuberi Fields. And please look through 10 years of fascinating true stories and radio movies. It's on the page for Unfictional at kcrw.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm Bob Carlson. Thanks for listening.